But let's read from Deuteronomy 6 and verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And by the way, one of our goals with our children is not just to produce goodness, but to produce godliness. Doing the will of God from the heart. And it's one thing to have a constructed list of good things that they follow. It's another thing that a child would have what is sometimes referred to as the fear of the Lord, which is the beginning of wisdom. And so the Bible says they're to be taught in thine heart. Verse 7, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. As Brother Guy said a moment ago, our Christian life should not be relegated to Sundays, but our life should be dedicated unto the Lord, presenting our lives as a living sacrifice every day. And one of the things that is accomplished in family devotions and family singing and family discussions around the Word of God is that Christianity is being lived out. And that's what we want to talk about in just a few moments from Deuteronomy chapter 6. First, let's pray and let's hear from a family that's practicing these principles in their home. Father, we thank you for this different and yet wonderful service, Lord. We ask that through this service tonight that you would help us to adore you, help us to confess areas in our own lives that perhaps have been neglected with respect to our devotional life with you. We ask that you would help us to be a thankful people as we meditate on your goodness. And then, Lord, bring us tonight closer to thee through the preaching of your word. And we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you to all of the families, and thank you to every family that is striving to grow, whether learning your first song or sharing your first verse or having your very first family devotion. I hope that this service tonight will encourage all of us to really keep Christ in the center of our family life and to remember that the Christian life is to be lived from the inside out, and it's something that's to be lived at home as well as at church. And if we don't teach our children the truth, then the world is ready to fill them with falsehood. God has given to us the responsibility of training up the children in the way they should go. And in the family, God has ordained a place, a beginning place, for the instruction of children. Years ago, in 1933, there was a publication known as the Humanist Manifesto. It was republished in 1973 and popularized by the National Educators Association and other groups who oftentimes promote a philosophy that is a godless philosophy. The Humanist Manifesto states, amongst many things, we affirm that the moral values desire their source from human experience and need no theological sanction. The humanist says that moral values may be developed by your own human experience, that we do not need a God telling us what is right, what is wrong, or how to have a relationship with him. In fact, humanism denies really even the very need for God. And yet when we open the Bible, we find at the very heart of Israel's worship was this instruction to teach the next generation about God, to help them understand from an early age there is a creator God, there is a redeemer God, there is a God coming again for all of us. And not only are we commanded to teach the next generation, but we're instructed how to do this. I'm thankful for the practicality of the Bible in giving us line-by-line instruction on how to teach the next generation. I see in Deuteronomy chapter 6 three quick thoughts, and I share them with you tonight. First of all, God calls us in our homes to teach with passion, to teach with passion. The Bible says here in verse 5, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. Passion really begins with the personal relationship. I would say that there was much passion on the football field last night. I've never seen our players play with such passion, our fans scream with such passion. But I believe last night the most passionate people there on the football field were the fathers whose sons were playing on that field. There was a different kind of a passion, for their life's blood was out on that field, and they were screaming and yelling and cheering and admonishing and slapping them on the back, and everything that was said with a great passion. And there's no doubt about the fact that dads and moms are passionate for their children in sports and in music and in all of these things. But God wants us to have the greatest passion for Him. And He wants this to be something that is seen in our families. I was teasing this morning about preaching after Thanksgiving, because sometimes after Thanksgiving, it's trying to preach to someone who's looking at you like this. And they're not always right there with you because of all of the serotonin that's come into them from the turkey and so forth. And yet God is calling us to come to His presence with great passion, with our whole heart, soul, and mind. Someone says, well, it seems like Brother Guy just wants us to be, you know, so into it when we're singing and so full of passion. You know why? Because that is the reflection of what God is doing in our heart. There's no other way to sing Amazing Grace than with great passion, or In Christ Alone than with great passion. Here we see that there is to be teaching with passion, and it's to begin with our own love for God. I believe that the greatest messages preached are those that first have done something in the heart of the preacher. And I believe that as we're having God work in our hearts through the week in our devotions and singing, then it's going to culminate when we come together in God's house. And so there must be a personal love for the Lord. Notice it says here in verse 5, thou shalt love the Lord thy God. Here we see that our children need to see in us as parents a love, an excitement, a passion for the Lord Jesus. When it's time for preaching, we ought to be thinking and sitting up in our seats, and they ought to see, man, Dad's ready for this. Mom's ready for this. This is important. We're going to learn about the Lord. There ought to be passionate love for the Lord with sincerity. And notice, with a selfless love. It says, with all of your soul, giving your whole self in this matter of worshiping the Lord. A strong love. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And then it says in verse 6, and these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. In other words, what Moses is saying is, I don't want you to give rote instruction, academic facts. I want you to pour your heart and your life into your children. I want them to see that this is what is important to you, that this is what matters to you. Now, if I were to ask you about the DNA of your family, what's important to your family, I might hear a lot of different things. I might hear Ford. I might hear GM. I might hear the name of a sports team. I might hear from some that tamales, and I might hear from others roast beef, and I might hear all different kinds of things, and all of those things are fine, but hear me tonight. All of those things are subservient to the cross of Jesus Christ. Nothing should be more important to us than the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why verse 6 says that we should make sure that this is in our own heart, in thine heart. Proverbs 23 and 26, the psalmist, or the Solomon said to Rehoboam, my son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my way. Son, let me have your heart here. And let your eyes observe my way. Make sure that your children see the same dad at home that they see at church. And that with their eyes, they're observing consistency day by day. Oh, parents, make this walk with the Lord priority number one, and be passionate about it. And how many of you have noticed the devil tries to rob our passion? And sometimes we get discouraged maybe with other Christians, or sometimes we get tired and weary because we've eaten too much turkey, or we're getting a little bit older. And sometimes, you know, there's disappointments that come in life. But let me encourage you, let nothing come between you and the Savior. Nothing between my soul and the Savior. Maintain that passion. And when you open the Bible, make sure that it's not some dutiful little ditty, but make sure that there's something passionate that you're sharing. Secondly, teach with persistence. This is something that takes discipline. This matter of Christ being taught in the home, this matter of modeling and mentoring in the home, this is a persistent matter that God has called us to. Verse 7, thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. Notice this word, diligently. God says, I want you to be diligent. Let me give you five quick thoughts for training your children and teaching your children diligently. You may want to jot these down. Just a couple of quick thoughts for you in the matter of diligence. Number one, parents, establish the authority in the home. You don't do that by screaming and yelling and saying, I'm the authority, I'm the mom, I'm the dad. You do that by simply giving direction and expecting them to be on time, expecting them to listen, establishing the parameters. Let them know that you as the father, you as the mother, are providing authority in the home. And then secondly, moms and dads, make sure that you are disciplined. Be disciplined yourself. I'm not speaking here about you disciplining your children. I'm speaking here about you being a disciplined parent. For example, if you're sitting on the couch and your children are misbehaving, or they're coloring on the wall, or they're dumping out their Coca-Cola, and you say, don't do that, and they do it anyways, and you stay on the couch and do nothing, then at that very moment, you are abdicating your parental responsibility. Make sure that you get up and get involved. Make sure that you take the time to think about, what am I going to read to my children tomorrow? What little chorus could we sing? Or what can I tell my 15-year-old who's struggling? Or what am I going to do this week with my 13-year-old daughter? And you be the disciplined one to mark your calendar and say, I don't care what happens, Thursday at 5 o'clock, I'm going to take my daughter and spend time with her. Be disciplined. Establish authority. Be disciplined. Thirdly, establish times and traditions. Establish a time when your family meets with the Lord. Establish traditions around Christmas, around Thanksgiving. For many years, we took our children at Christmas time singing in the hospitals and other times visiting the widows and just various traditions and writing what we're thankful for. At Christmas time, we often took a little metal tin, and for many years, 10 or 12 years, our children wrote on paper their gift to Jesus. What was their gift in the new year? And maybe it would be a tender heart, an obedient heart, a witness. And they would write that down and put it into the gift box to Jesus because it was his birthday. Number four, be consistent. Be consistent as a parent. And number five, look for teaching moments. Look for those moments when you can say, isn't God good? Isn't that a blessing that God answered our prayer? Wasn't that wonderful, the way that that turned out, and giving honor to the Lord? Now, when it comes to teaching with persistency, let me share with you, first of all, teach the truth. Make sure that you are focusing on the truth. Did you see that in verse 7? Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. Thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. What is it that we're talking about? Verse 6, these words which I command thee, these great truths, this truth, the Lord our God is one Lord, these teaching, these commandments, these various principles that Moses had given to them, they were to teach these truths. Specifically in the home, they were to teach these three things: commandments, statutes, and judgments. A commandment is a truth from God. A statute is an ordinance of God. And a judgment is the discerning use of wisdom, how to make right decisions. God wants us to teach our children how to make right decisions. And so here we are told to teach formally and to teach informally. Did you see that in verse 7? It says, when you're walking by the way, when you're lying down, when you're rising up, look for opportunities to talk about God, God's goodness, and to teach the faithfulness of our God. And so we must teach with passion. That means it's in your heart. You love the Lord. You want to talk about the Lord. We must teach with persistency. That is organized times daily. That is throughout the week spontaneously, remembering special moments, but planning. Just as a pastor would plan many sermons for the year, you're going to plan every week a few times that are going to be special times of engagement, and where you're going to take might be something from a sermon and review it. All of the notes that we give, just taking any one page of a Sunday morning and sharing that, or something from your Sunday school class, or something from your Bible reading that you'd like to emphasize. It's amazing. Oftentimes, I'll be reading the scriptures, and even though my children are raised, I'll think of something for one of my children, and I'll email them a thought. Or one of my grandchildren, and I'll email them a thought. They're very willing to share thoughts with me. My little granddaughter, Blair, she cuddled up with me on Thanksgiving Day. She put her arms around my tummy. She said, "Papa, is there a baby in there?" They don't mind sharing anything that comes to their mind, you know? And they're good at spontaneously sharing their thoughts. But I want to be willing to take a moment. And I find when I read the Bible that God many times just brings something to my mind and says, you know what? That would be a good truth for Camden. That would be a good truth for my son, Matthew. That would be a good truth for so-and-so. And share that truth with them and follow the impulse of the Lord. So teach with passion. And don't let the devil rob you as a parent of your passion. And teach with persistency, just constantly looking for opportunities to teach, those teaching moments. Then thirdly, teach with patience. Now, one of the things that we often work on as a staff, we have classes, and we have our core class, and we have our continued discipleship. And these are very wonderful programs. But it's important to me that the emphasis is not on a program. The emphasis is on Jesus, and it's on helping people to know the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, the program is a means to an end. It's a tool to help us grow people in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. And the reason that I say that is because in the Christian life, no one grows at the same exact pace. Have you noticed that? There's no such thing as a cookie-cutter Christian. I mean, there's no such thing as just getting that riveter out like you build an airplane and just popping the pieces on and boom, it's going to fly. I have found that everyone needs a little different type of care, a little different type of a verse here and there, a prayer time, an admonition. And some folk are ready to go. I'll never forget when Dan Migliori was saved. Brother Dan came by the office, I think, every day for months. He'd come from Edwards Air Force Base. He'd come to 304 West Lancaster Boulevard. He'd say, "Now, I read this in the Bible. What does that mean? And I heard you say this in the pulpit. What does that mean?" And I mean, he was just on fire to know what the Bible said. And then there's other people that it seems like you've got to kind of pull them in to really getting discipled and so forth. But what I'm saying is every child is different as well. And we need to be patient as we bring them along. Ephesians 6:4, "Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." The nurture of the Lord, again, meaning the disciplines, the training, and then the admonition, meaning the teaching. And education in this sense really has two facets. It has the positive, that is the instruction, the teaching, and the modeling. And then it has the negative. That is the chasing or the curbing of the appetites, and that is the teaching of that which is wrong. And sometimes parents, if we're not careful, will lean one way or the other. Some lean only towards the admonition in the positive sense. They're great at praising. They're wonderful at that side of it. And others are only bringing out the negative and constantly reminding of what is wrong. But a good teacher has both facets. They're admonishing when something is right, and they're also reminding in the sense of admonishing when something is wrong. Now, the Proverbs are very clear, and I close with Proverbs 4, and I ask you to turn there just for one moment. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse number 1. Proverbs 4, 1. And I want all the children to listen to this verse and teenagers as well, because this is written not only from a father whose name was Solomon to a son whose name was Rehoboam, but it's written from God our Father to each of us. By the way, how many of you that are past 40 or 50 are glad that you have a heavenly Father, right? And we have a heavenly Father. And this is the word of the Heavenly Father to us. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 1. Hear, ye children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law. Now, here we see the instruction of a father. And God says, children, I want you to hear it. Now, this is my conviction. I believe that children want to hear it. I believe that even a teenager that's going through a spell that's just like, yeah, whatever, and their spirit is kind of belligerent, I believe that even those children want your instruction. And sometimes, if we're not careful, we let them take the leadership, and because they are disinterested, we give up. But God says, children, hear the instruction of your father. Father, don't abdicate that responsibility, but give that instruction. And then I love what Solomon says. He says, I give you good doctrine. Now, doctrine is a set of beliefs. Doctrine is a set of beliefs, and every child needs this. They need to know and understand right and wrong. But let me say this as I close. The guiding New Testament principle to knowing right and wrong is that we are to walk in the Spirit. Now look right here. Walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Let's say that together. Walk in the Spirit. God commands us to walk in the Spirit. Now, why is that so important? Parents, you're not going to be with your children every moment of every day, but God's Holy Spirit is with them. And so the fact of the matter is that if we continually emphasize this list and that list, and if we're constantly emphasizing in the sense of the Pharisees, do this, don't do that, and if we're constantly involved in some type of moralism to the point that we neglect the presence of the Holy Spirit of God, then we're teaching them truth, but not activating that truth by reminding them to listen to the still small voice of God. Now, may I remind you that the law of God and the moral law of God is not to be neglected. The fact is that God says, I give you good doctrine. I want you to know my truth. But on the other hand, just a list of truth without the relationship with the Holy Spirit never brings about the right kind of living. And I said it earlier, there is a difference between training a good child and a godly child. There's a difference between training a good child and a godly child. There's a difference today between good people and godly people. Good people stay out of jail. They pay their taxes. That's a wonderful thing. Godly people forgive and love. Godly people are faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because they're walking in the Spirit of God and not fulfilling the lust of the flesh. They're bearing the fruit of the Spirit. And so I want to encourage every family, be a family this season. And what a great time to put this into practice with your children. It doesn't matter if they're 2 years old. What a great time to teach with passion. And what a great time to be persistent and to say, you know what, we're just going to make a priority of talking of the Lord and singing of the Lord and go over to the bookstore, and we have a ton of CDs over there with godly music and wonderful Christmas music, and let the wonderful sounds of Christ come into your home, and then teach with persistency, and finally teach with patience. And when your child just kind of blows it and gets a white note every day from school or a demerit, or when there's a problem, don't say to yourself or to them, you know what, this is a losing cause. But you give another moment of prayer and give another scripture and another ice cream cone and another Coke or whatever it takes, and keep investing in your children. And may these next 30 days not merely be busy times, not merely be fun times, but may they be times in our lives, in our worship, when all of us can say, it's been good to be with the Lord and to worship Him this month. Let's pray together. Father.